Chapter 8. Rescue and Return. Tweel and I followed the road straight up to the nearest mound. The creatures were coming and going, paying us not the slightest attention, fetching their loads of rubbish. The road simply descended into an opening and curved down like an old mine, and in and out darted the barrel people, greeting us with their endless phrase. I looked in. There was a light somewhere below, and I was curious to see it. It didn't look like a flame, you understand, but more like a civilized light, and I thought that I might get some hint about the creature's development. So in I went, and Tweel followed along, not without a few nervous trills, however. The light was curious. It popped and shined like an old arc light, but came from a single black rod set in the wall of the passage. It was electric, beyond doubt. The creatures were fairly civilized, apparently. Then I saw another light shining on something that sparkled, so I went on to look at that, but it was only a pile of shiny sand. I turned toward the entrance to leave, and the devil take me if it wasn't gone. I suppose the passage had curved, or I'd stepped into a side tunnel. Anyway, I walked back in the direction I thought we'd come, and all I saw was more of the dark passage. The place was a labyrinth. There was nothing but twisting passages running every way, lit by occasional lights, and now and then a creature running by, sometimes with a cart, sometimes without. Well, I wasn't much worried at first, since Tweel and I had only come a few steps from the entrance, but every move we made after that seemed to get us in deeper. Finally, I tried following one of the creatures with an empty cart, thinking that he'd be going out for his rubbish, but he ran around aimlessly into one passage and out another. When he started running around a mound again and again, I gave up, threw my water tank on the floor and sat down. Tweel was as lost as I. I pointed up and he said, "No, no, no," in a sort of helpless trill. And we couldn't get any help from the natives, who paid no attention at all, except to assure us they were friends. Ouch! It was terrible. I don't know how many hours or days we wandered around there. I slept twice from absolute exhaustion, but Tweel never seemed to need sleep. We tried following only the upward passages, but they'd run up for a while and then curve down. The temperature in that damned anthill was constant. You couldn't tell night from day, and after my first sleep, I didn't know whether I'd slept 1 hour or 13, so I couldn't tell from my watch whether it was night or day. We saw plenty of strange things. There were machines running in some of the passages, but they didn't seem to be doing anything, just wheels turning. And several times I saw two barrel creatures with a little one growing between them, joined to both. The things never noticed us at all, except, as I say, to greet us with, "We are friends, ouch!" They seemed to have no home life of any sort, but just ran around with their carts, bringing in rubbish. And finally, I discovered what they did with it. We'd had a little luck with a passage, one that went upward for a great distance. I was feeling that we ought to be close to the surface, when suddenly the passage emerged into a round chamber, the only one we'd seen, and man, I felt like dancing when I saw what looked like daylight through a crack in the roof. There was a sort of machine in the chamber, just an enormous wheel that turned slowly, and one of the creatures was in the act of putting his rubbish below it. The wheel ground it loudly, sand, stones, plants, all into powder that fell away somewhere. While we watched, another came in, repeating the process, and that seemed to be all. No purpose to the whole thing, but that's characteristic of this crazy planet. And there was another fact that's almost too strange to believe. One of the creatures, after getting rid of his load, pushed his cart aside with a crash and calmly shoved himself under the wheel. I watched him being ground up, too shocked to make a sound, and a moment later another followed him. They were perfectly methodical about it, too. Another creature then took the abandoned cart. Tweel didn't seem surprised. I pointed out the next time a creature threw itself under the wheel, and he just gave the most human-like shrug I could imagine, as much as to say, "What can I do about it?" Then I saw something else. There was something beyond the wheel, something shining on a sort of low platform. I walked over, and there was a little crystal about the size of an egg, glowing almost too brightly to look at. The light from it stung my hands and face, almost like a weak electric shock. And then I noticed another funny thing. Remember that wart I had on my left thumb? Look! Jarvis extended his hand. It dried up and fell off instantly. And my abused nose, the pain went out of it like magic. The thing produced some powerful form of radiation which destroyed diseased tissue and didn't hurt healthy tissue at all. I was thinking what a present that'd be to take back to Mother Earth when a lot of noise interrupted. We ran back to the other side of the wheel in time to see one of the carts ground up. Some creature had been careless, it seems. Then suddenly, the creatures were booming and drumming all around us, and their noise was definitely threatening. A crowd of them advanced toward us, and we went back out what I thought was the passage we'd entered by, and they came noisily after us, some pushing carts and some not. Crazy beasts. They all seemed to be saying, "We are v-v-v-vrens. Ouch!" I didn't like the ouch. It had dark implications. Tweel had his glass gun out, and I dropped my water tank for greater freedom and got mine. We went up the passage with the barrel creatures following, about 20 of them. It was strange that the ones coming in with loaded carts moved past us inches away without a sign. Tweel must have noticed that, because he suddenly snatched out that glowing coal he carried and touched a cartload of plant parts. Puff! The whole load was burning, and the crazy creature pushing it went right along without a change of pace. It created some disturbance among our v-v-v-v-friends, however. Then I noticed the smoke twisting past us, and sure enough, there was the entrance. I grabbed Tweel, and we rushed out with 20 pursuers after us. The daylight felt like heaven, though I saw at first glance that the sun was nearly set, and that was bad, since I couldn't live outside my thermal bag in a Martian night, at least without a fire. And things got worse in a hurry. They cornered us in an angle between two mounds, and there we stood. I hadn't fired, nor had Tweel, since there wasn't any use in irritating the things. They stopped a little distance away and began their booming about friendship and ouches. Then things got still worse. A barrel creature came out with a cart, and they all reached into it and came out holding foot-long metal darts, sharp-looking ones. And all of a sudden, one sailed fast past my ear, and it was shoot or die then. We were doing pretty well for a while. We shot the ones next to the cart and managed to keep the darts at a minimum. But suddenly there was a huge booming of v-v-v-v-vrens and ouches, and a whole army of them came out of their hole. Man, we were through and I knew it. Then I realized that Tweel wasn't, since he could have leaped the mound behind us easily. He was staying for me. Say, I could have cried if there'd been time. I'd liked Tweel from the first, but whether I'd have had the gratitude to do what he was doing. Suppose I had saved him from the first dream beast. He'd done as much for me, hadn't he? I grabbed his arm and said, "Tweel," and pointed up, and he understood. He said, "No, no, no, Tick," and popped away with his glass gun. What could I do? I'd be dead anyway when the sun set, but I couldn't explain that to him. I said, "Thanks, Tweel, you're a man," and felt that I wasn't giving him any praise at all. A man. There are mighty few men who'd do that. So I went bang with my gun, and Tweel went puff with his, and the barrels were throwing darts and getting ready to rush us and booming about being friends. I had given up hope. Then suddenly an angel dropped right down from heaven in the shape of Putz, with his underjets blasting the barrels into very small pieces. Wow! I let out a shout and ran for the rocket. Putz opened the door and in I went, laughing and crying and shouting. It was a moment or so before I remembered Tweel. I looked around in time to see him rising in one of his leaps over the mound and away. I had a devil of a job arguing Putz into following. By the time we got the rocket up, night was down. You know how it comes here, like turning off a light. We sailed out over the desert and put down once or twice. I shouted, "Tweel!" and shouted it 100 times, I guess, but we couldn't find him. He could travel like the wind, and all I got, or else I imagined it, was a faint trilling drifting out of the south. He'd gone, and damn it, I wish he hadn't. The 4 men of the Ares were silent, even the sarcastic Harrison. At last, little Leroy broke the silence. "I should like to have seen him," he said quietly. "Yeah," said Harrison. "And that crystal. Too bad you missed that. It might be the cancer cure they've been hunting for a century and a half." "Oh, that," said Jarvis sadly. "That's what started the fight." He drew a sparkling object from his pocket. "Here it is."